Guess who's back? Back again. We're back. It's the Dubcast. That's who's back. My name's Ben Gordon, and I am joined by El Presidente of Interspecies Wrestling, Mike Roch, and we are bringing to you the return of the official podcast of Interspecies Wrestling, the Dubcast. Mike, how are you, my friend?
I was just about to mention, like, that you are incredibly white.
Yes. Yes,
that intro was incredibly white. But then I realized it was, you know, you were quoting a white rapper.
Yes.
So the whole thing is incredibly white.
It really is. I can't help myself, you know. I try very, very hard, too hard sometimes, but ultimately my whiteness precedes me.
Jeez.
In any event, we're here to return the Dubcast because people were asking for it. People have been asking for it, and you know, time and schedules prevented us from really being able to do this regularly. But we were like, you know what? We're gonna make time. We're gonna make time for you, the fans of Interspecies Wrestling. And how do we do that, Mike Roch?
By bringing back the Dubcast?
Yes!
I don't know. Bringing back the Dubcast and opening the floor to all these fine people to ask questions.
That's right. ISW tends to answer a lot of its questions, you know, anything people will ask us. But we wanted to take a lot of questions because we're 2 weeks out from SummerSlamtasia taking place June 15th in Ottawa, Ontario at the Knights of Columbus. Check out interspecieswrestling.com for more information. Get your tickets. A lot of really fun matches that are going to be taking place that day. I'm really looking forward to the main event. Is He Dead Yet defending the Interspecies Wrestling Championship against the deathmatch drunkard himself, Danny Havoc. But a lot of interesting things have been going on lately, and it kind of reflects a lot in the questions that we received. So do you want to just jump into the questions?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Let's do this.
All right. Well, we'll start with some of the Twitter questions first. This question comes from @TheTrentX. Mike, is Izzy Dead Yet really dead?
Well, no, because zombies aren't really dead. They're undead.
Yes.
Which means they're in between dead and alive type thing.
In Izzy's case, he's becoming more alive than undead lately. I mean, you know, he's been able to talk, to learn.
Actually, the last time I spoke to him, he informed me that he is now able to dress himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder who did it before him.
That's what I was wondering as well. Who did it and how? Like, what did they wear? Did they wear, you know, a suit of armor, chainmail, something like that? So, you know, bite-resistant clothing?
Someone really had to get Izzy to trust him enough to you know, realize that, no, he can't be fed on.
I'm guessing that it wasn't a woman because his fashion sense is not very modern.
No, anymore. Not very. Or it could. It's very butch lesbian.
Maybe it was a hipster.
It could be. But to answer your question, no, Izzy Dead Yet is not really dead. He's,
well, I'm sure he was dead for a few minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you kind of have to be in order to become undead.
Yeah.
Because first you're undead. Just like 7-Up is the Uncola.
Yeah, I was dead once, then I got better.
I was dead, but I beat it with Tylenol.
Oh, man. Imagine.
He's dead. Bring in the store brand acetaminophen. No.
Store brand wouldn't cut it. You'd have to get the name brand stuff. You'd have to go with Tylenol.
You need the little logo on the pill in order for it to work its magic.
And you'd have to make sure that the Unabomber didn't poison it.
Another question coming in from SGLLS. Wants to know if we are rebranding to Wrestling is Weird. It's a weird question.
No, because I think all wrestling is weird.
It really is. I mean, it takes a really weird person to enjoy what we do.
Yeah, it would pretty much be stating the obvious, and it would make us just like everybody else, and I don't want to be that.
No, we pride ourselves on being different.
The entire thought of pro wrestling, like, if you really break it down and think about what it is, it's pretty weird.
It is. It's dudes who try to look like a certain image or completely broken of that certain image just to be different, rehearsing and fighting in a way that that not most other people do.
In underpants.
Yes.
I mean, if you were going to fight somebody, would you strip down to underpants to fight them?
No, I'd get on as much protective covering as possible.
It's very weird.
It is.
You know, I've been breaking things down recently and realizing how weird or disgusting things are. Like, if you really think about milk, it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it comes from a cow.
Yeah.
And it doesn't last very long. And for people over a certain age, it can make you sick.
Even eggs. Eggs are really fucked up, too, if you think about it. And cheese? Ugh. Don't even get me started. And I love all of these things. I'm one of the biggest fans of milk. I'm the biggest fan of milk since Player Uno. Player Uno is a fucking milk fan. That guy loves him some milk. But I'd say I'm second place to Player Uno when it comes to loving milk. And to think about it that way really fucked with me for a bit.
Do you prefer flavored milk to regular milk?
I'm all about regular milk, but I do love a good chocolate milk every now and then.
I've heard of orange milk recently, and it kind of blew my mind.
I wouldn't fuck that with your dick.
Yes, nobody here is fucking any milk. It's just not going to happen. Okay, let's see. At Gay Wrestling Fan asked if now, given the events of what's been going on recently in the world of wrestling, is this ISW's chance to conquer the world, and then parentheses of nerdy wrestling? And then he used one question mark and three exclamation points, so he's very excited about this question.
Seriously, wow. Is it our time to take over the world? No, I've always prided us in being basically the promotion that's not trying to take over the world. We're just going out there to have fun, and if other people enjoy what we do, that's fucking great. If they don't, hey, that's great too. You know, it's a matter of opinion. I like to say that we are the promotion that chills at the bottom of the ladder while the other promotions are climbing it, and we hold it steady while drinking a few beers, and we occasionally offer the, hey, be careful up there, you know?
ISW is really is something that I think a lot of people have a preconceived notion of before they actually come see a show. And then once they do, their opinions are just completely changed of it. You know, I know several people who it took them a while to finally come to a show because they just, you know, they thought it was one thing. And then when I saw it, they were blown away by what they actually saw in front of them.
And then they still thought it was one thing, but that one thing was awesome.
Yes. Awesome. So to answer your question, Gay Wrestling Fan, we're just going to chill. We're going to hang back. Everyone else is going to try and fight for that next rung up the ladder. And we're just going to hang out and do what we do best. We've got another Twitter question from at A. Russell wanting to know if they can get the full story on what happened during the match between Jaka and Chris Dickinson at our last show, ISW in 3D.
Well, basically, Ben, your table got broken because you actually owned that table.
I did.
And these people defended your honor by getting mad and kicking Chris Dickinson in the head while he was on the ground. That's what happened. A fight broke out. A man was wearing face paint. I was confused with the entire fucking thing.
Yeah, I mean, we were both hanging out on the balcony above where this entire thing was taking place. And next thing we know, everything that was going on in the ring has now spilled out to the outside. And we're just like, wait, when did this happen? And it was a big mob scene. And it just really seemed like this whole thing that got blasted out of proportion. But when it all came down to it, it lit a spark under the crowd. And then once Jaka and Dickinson got back in the ring, they did their thing, and they did their thing well, and everyone was fucking into and excited about that match.
Absolutely. And that match, of course, available for free on our YouTube channel via Free Match Monday, that thing that we're doing every week now where we release an interspecies match every Monday night around or before or a little bit after Raw.
Yeah, it's one of these things that, you know, ISW listens to the fans. And when the fans want to see what's going on in ISW or what's happened in the past, you know, we were like, hey, here's a match for free. You know, most other companies will make you pay for a match. You know, some companies will put a match on iTunes for a buck and be like, here's the full match. Nah, we give you that shit for free because that's what you want.
I think it'd be awesome if more promotions got in on Free Match Monday to the point where eventually at the end of every week, we as promotions can unite and actually release like a limited edition DVD of the matches and then split the funds. It'd be really cool to do.
It would be cool to do. Because let's face it, there are sometimes, you know, people are watching wrestling on TV Monday nights. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not good. But it would be great if there was enough free matches to fill that block on Monday nights where people could be like, I'm not going to watch that. I'm just going to watch all these free matches on YouTube because these are the kinds of matches that I want to see.
Yeah, Free Match Monday could be like a palate cleanser. You know when somebody's eating sushi and they take the piece of ginger first to cleanse the palate? We could be that. We could be the slightly awkward taste that cleanses the palate before you eat weird fucking fish.
And speaking of ginger, we've got a question from our good friend Blake, who is a ginger.
Blake is the ginger.
Blake wants to know, whatever happened to Snake the Jake Roberts?
That's a good question. I absolutely have no fucking idea.
Now, for those who don't know, who is Snake the Jake Roberts?
Well, he is a guy who looks, acts, and speaks as if he was the real Jake the Snake. I'm not even sure that he knows who he is, but he's very entertaining nonetheless. I don't know much. I mean, he went to throw a bag into the ring thinking it would be his snake, and it was just a bag of dirty underwear. I thought that was pretty gross.
It was pretty gross, but for a couple of split seconds, I was like, is this the real Jake Roberts? But it was Snake.
I think I'd be a little bit more frightened of somebody dumping a bag of dirty underwear on me than I would, you know, dropping a snake.
I can see that. I can see why, especially if it's sitting in a while and really needs a washing.
Absolutely. Dirty laundry is really gross. It's so nasty.
It's something that needs to be taken care of. It's a problem. It's a problem in the world today.
You know what the worst is? The worst is when you have like a younger sibling or something and they go swimming and they come home with their bag of wet clothes and they just leave it somewhere in the house instead of, you know, bringing it to the laundry room.
Even they'll leave their wet clothes hanging up in the shower to not even hang up,
leave it in the bag.
Oh.
And just put it somewhere and just forget about it, cuz then by the time you open that bag, it is fucking the most rank smell ever. It's like musty and mildewy and probably cancer causing moldy. Like, it's just fucking gross.
It's pretty bad.
I think that every kid in my family has done that at least once, which makes me think that my family, like, there's something that runs in this family that makes us all absent-minded fucking morons.
I have to agree.
That's rude. Dick.
Moving on. Next question. We've got a few questions from one of our good fans by the name of Ken Dudley. Ken Dudley wants to know if there's any truth to the rumors that you, Mike Rotch, will be making your in-ring debut under the alias of Giant Danglers.
I'm pretty sure that if I was going to make my wrestling debut and I had anything involving genitalia and giant in my name, first off, it would be a lie. but if I had to choose a name that involved those two things, it would definitely be Giant Dongzales.
Dongzales.
Yep.
Where does that come from?
Just a giant dong, man. And Giant Gonzales.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense now because I had no idea what the hell you were referring to.
Well, the man did wrestle kind of naked.
He kind of naked. He's lucky he had so much hair where he did.
Where was his dick?
It was very, very well tucked away. You know, that much hair, you can, you know, make a little nest for it.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that he actually lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. And because his dick is so stupendous and actually has an elbow, it acts as a knee. And his other leg is actually a dick in a boot.
Well, that would explain why he seemed to be very much off balance, because, I mean, the head of a dick is not a foot. It's not good for balance.
Don't even get me started on Kali's legs.
He was dancing earlier tonight on Monday Night Raw when we were watching it, and he did not move any part of the lower half of his body. It was all upper body. It's like nothing going on.
When he walks, he reminds me of the pirate from Family Guy.
What's his name? Like Peg Leg Pete or something?
His name's Kali.
It is now. So, no, Ken Dudley. Mike Rotch will not be making his in-ring debut under the alias of Giant Danglers. Ken Dudley has some more questions, but before we do that, we'll remind you again. SummerSlamtation is taking place next week in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada at the Knights of Columbus. Check out interspecieswrestling.com for all of the information. Find out more information about your favorite ISW wrestlers. There's a snazzy roster section on interspecieswrestling.com. It's been updated pretty recently, and check it out. It's pretty rad.
Absolutely rad.
Ken Dudley wants to know that in light of recent events, can we please have Eddie back on ISW shows? Hashtag the motherfucking league.
Oh, man. Well, which Eddie is he speaking of? Because we've had two Eddies absent recently. The sexy one and the one who punched me in the face on commentary at Slamtasia 4, Eddie Kingston.
Well, it just says Eddie, so I don't really know. It's up to interpretation, I guess.
Well, let me tell you, I'd love to have them both back. It would be great to have them both back. But Sexy Eddie's just a busy man. He's got a whole laundry list of broads he needs to fuck. And I understand the fact that he feels that getting the poon, getting the stink on his dink is a lot more important than rolling around with half-naked men. As for Eddie Kingston, the door is always open. Always has been. The ball is in his court.
And we'll see if we can get that ball rolling. Two more questions from Ken Dudley. He's heard rumors of a debuting female ISW wrestler, a lesbian duck by the name of Quack Dykenbush. Any comments?
Fuck. Ken Dudley, I'm pointing my finger at you right now. Pointing my finger at you disapprovingly. Do not besmirch that man's good name.
No.
Never.
No one would do that. He says he has a serious question. Finally, Ken Dudley does. Will any ISW stars be performing at the upcoming Wrestling is Adultery show?
Well, wrestling does have a long history of adultery, of course. You know, Ric Flair's on, like, Wife 9000 And you got to believe that's because of many a night at the Marriott. As far as interspecies wrestling goes, I might actually be the only person married, and I don't plan on going outside of my marriage anytime soon. So I don't think that any of us could actually honestly perform on a show under that name. Ken, you're fucking crazy. What the fuck, man? What a question.
All right, well, we'll move along. This one's kind of a personal question. Are you ready for something personal?
Oh, just fire it. Fire away.
The Cheesecake Man himself, Mr. Kyle Thurgood, wants to know that if he was a wrestler, what would his storyline be in ISW?
I don't know what his storyline would be, but I think I'd book him as Doc Lewis from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And we'd turn Frankie Arion face again and have him work his little Mac. And he would lead him to the ring on a bicycle.
I got nothing. That's perfect. Look up our friend's cheesecake business, Mr. Thurgood's Cheesecakes. They are excellent. We were lucky enough to sample them at the last ISW show, and they were delicious.
You know, I never thought that bacon in a cheesecake would be a thing. Well, you know, I never thought that bacon in a lot of things would be a thing. Yeah. I gotta, you know, the internet is really fucking dumb for bringing this whole, hey, bacon's good with everything thing to light, because I see some things and I'm just like, there's no fucking way. Like, I had a bacon ice cream sundae. And it was one of the, like, top five worst things I've ever eaten.
It really does seem like one of those things that sounds good on paper and everything, but in execution, it's really not. Like, no one needs a cologne, a bacon-scented cologne. There's just no sense in that.
Yeah, like, the only way anybody would want, you know, a bacon-scented cologne is if they want somebody like me to fuck them.
Ladies?
Bitches, don't do it.
No.
Bitches, no! Ben, is there actually bacon-scented cologne?
I think there is, actually.
See, I remember there being a Burger King scented cologne, and I tried to order it, and you couldn't order it.
Interesting.
That's ridiculous. I know there's bacon lube.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard of bacon scented candles.
It's for when you want your pig whistle to actually taste and smell like pork.
Well, the next question we got comes from a good friend of mine and a friend of yours, Ben Pasco, wants to know who is cuter, him or our good friend Georgie Hazar?
A wise man once said, I'm extreme, I'll take them both.
That's something I don't think you want to get in the middle of. Next question comes from Will Hafer. Will wants to know if there's a match type that you, Mike, have wanted to do, but for whatever reason, we're not able to do.
I always had this, like, match I wanted to do. It was called, like, a TLC squared match, in which it would be, like, tables, ladders, and chairs, and then three other things that began with TLC. So it would be like tables, ladders, chairs, trouts, Lego, and fucking, I don't know, cantaloupes. Other than that, I've had this idea for a prison rules match in my head for the longest time, in which it would be a wrestling match in which the weapons and stipulations would be prison styled. So there would be lumberjacks on the outside of the ring, and they would be half convicts and half cops. You know, the cops would be on the faces teams. And the convicts would be on the heels team. And in the corner, elevated, there would be a pillowcase with bars of soap in it. And the first one to get to grab it gets to use it. But the thing is, the convicts would hand the heels weapons. So you'd get like a toothbrush shank or like a lunch tray. The cops would put beatings on the heels when they're thrown to the outside because cops are corrupt. you know, it would have been a real shit show.
It sounds like it, but it sounds like the most fun shit show possible.
Well, then it might happen, man.
I look forward to that eventually happening. So there you go, Will. Prison rules. Next question comes from a good friend of mine and yours, Matt Ryan, co-host of the program with Matt and Ben, with me. Matt wants to know, in the current state of independent professional wrestling, what do you, Mike, feel ISW's key demographic is? And how do we, both you and I, feel about the evolution of the indie scene over the past few years?
To be honest, I don't know what the state of independent wrestling is right now because I don't actually watch very much wrestling. I'm sorry to anybody who may be offended by the fact that I don't watch wrestling, but I just don't watch it. I'm not interested in all wrestling that's out there right now. Most wrestling I watch these days is live shows that I'm attending with my friends or that my friends are promoting. I don't go out there and make an effort to watch like Chikara or Ring of Honor or anything like that anymore. I'm not the same level of fan or whatever that I was in 2005, 2006 when I used to go to fucking, you know, like 130 shows a year or whatever. But I do think that independent wrestling, from what I've seen, is just as good as it's ever been, if not better. I think it's just the fans who have kind of gotten shitty, because a lot of them expect a lot more than they're getting. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like they want more, and it's just, you know, it's ridiculous at times. And, you know, I think that there's way too many dead crowds out there lately. I think they've just been spoiled to the point where, you know, they're not popping for the things they should be popping for.
It's definitely, you know, an interesting time for independent wrestling, because, you know, wrestling has always been cyclical, and a lot of the things that made indie wrestling special over the past 5, 8, 10 years are now what's making WWE special. You know, a lot of guys that indie wrestling fans once called our own are now making a huge impression on what's going on in WWE right now. So it's very much trying to find what the next big thing is going to be. And that, it seems to me that a lot of it is revolving around just trying different things, trying out new concepts, you know, trying to, you know, find the next, you know, some new stars to find out who's going to be the next big thing in indie wrestling. And that's not, you know, it's a lot harder than it seems. You know, obviously, you know, the talent pool is much different now than it was, you know, again, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But, you know, we're seeing a lot of people try different things. We're seeing, you know, a lot of former WWE guys trying, you know, to make a splash of their own on the independent wrestling scene again, so that they can themselves do something a little bit different, which is leading to some fresh stuff. It you know, all in all, it's leading to, you know, again, you know, some of the crowds, like Mike said, are not as enthusiastic as they were because they've seen so much good stuff, you know, both creatively and in the ring over the past, you know, number of years. But I feel like there's some, you know, where it's kind of, you know, getting to the point where things are starting to turn back up. You know, the people who, you know, were no names a couple years ago are starting to establish themselves. And people are starting to get familiar with some really great wrestlers. I mean, one, you know, person I want to take a, you know, example out of is Addie Starr. Interspecies wrestling fans have known for years how good she is, and now she's starting to make her name all over the place. So, you know, it's that kind of thing where, you know, once people start to see the, you know, a lot of the people that are not in the higher profile independents, you know, once people see those guys and girls wrestle, it's going to create a whole new world of opportunities of matches to make and different things for everyone to do. It's completely, the cycles are completely changing. So I think that, you know, things can only go up because, you know, there's definitely people out there that are going to watch it, and, you know, people just need to find a way to connect with them. And when it comes to interspecies wrestling and the type of audience that ISW finds, it seems to be doing nothing but great things, because the last few shows that ISW's put on have been some of the biggest crowds and most enthusiastic crowds that we've ever seen.
I should have let you answer that question, because honestly, my answer paled in comparison to yours. Yours was really well thought out and awesome because you actually watch wrestling. But as for where I think ISW is in the independent scene, I already answered that earlier. We're chilling at the bottom of that ladder. We're holding that ladder steady because we're in this for fun. Like I said, we realize we're not going to get rich. We're not taking this too fucking seriously. This is a good time for us. That's all it is. Once it stops being a good time is when we'll stop doing it.
And it just, the time's just, you know, I'm having more fun at ISW with every show that we do because, you know, I see new people. I see more people coming to these shows and, you know, seeing what, you know, you've known for forever and I've known for the past 4 or 5 years, that ISW is the most fun time to have at a wrestling show. And people, you know, to see new people see that for the first time is one of my most favorite things whenever I go to see an ISW show and I see new people there. All right, so let's move on to one of our next questions. Again, our good pal Blake has another question. Mike, he wants to know if you're going to challenge Danny Havoc to a drinking contest to keep your record going.
The guy has drunkard in his name. I don't think it's a good idea. I think that's just a bad time. Me challenging him would eventually end up with me in the hospital again, and I've already been there twice this year, and I don't intend on going back. So, Danny Havoc, I will hand over my crown to you.
And for people who don't know what Mike's talking about, Mike Rotch challenged the Necro Butcher to a drinking contest and won. And that's definitely something you hold on your mantle. You don't put that at risk. You leave that on the mantle and you leave it there for everyone to see so they can see that you beat the Necro Butcher at drinking and nobody else beat you.
He also punched me in the stomach.
Did he?
Because he thought that the way that I drank beer and the way I held it all in, he was convinced that my stomach was cast iron. So he started punching and poking me in the stomach.
Oh, gosh.
He's a great guy, and I hope I get to drink with him again sometime. He told me some great stories.
Yeah, he's definitely a lot of fun to be around, and his match with Izzy Dead Yet was really something special. So I hope to see him back, too. Our good pal Giordano, the producer of the Nerd Slam, had a question. Wants to know if you'd like to get pregnant.
Oh, baby, take me behind the middle school. Get it pregnant. Let's do this. Put a baby in my butthole.
Is there a story behind that, or are you just getting pregnant?
Last year, after fighting back wrestling with cancer, we all went to this Denny's. And we stayed there just, you know, reminiscing, talking about Frank. And eventually, Adam Finchler, the man responsible for making the upcoming Interspecies Wrestling documentary, pulled the camera out on me and started interviewing me and asking me questions about Interspecies Wrestling and Frank and fighting back and what it meant to me. And shit was just getting way too serious, and I was getting kind of leaky-eyed. So anytime a woman walked into Denny's, I would look her dead in the face and ask, which one of y'all wants to get pregnant? And I said this probably to about, I want to say like 45 women, because it was, you know, a Friday night and Denny's is open 24 hours. So after hitting the bars, these girls all go to Denny's and you know, eat breakfast. And, you know, while they're eating their eggs or before they eat their eggs, I was asking them if I could fertilize their eggs. And well, that's the story behind that. I am apparently a mass impregnator. That's what my gimmick would be.
The Mass Impregnator?
Michael, the Mass Impregnator.
All right, next question comes from our good pal Alex Fitzgerald. Alex wants to know, how will you kick out all of your fans at the end of your next show, since that seems to be the trendy thing to do?
Actually, the funny thing is I do have to kick everybody out immediately after the next show, because C4 is running about 2 to 3 hours after we complete our show, and they need to set things up. So we actually do have to kick everybody out of the venue, but worry not, because apparently a couple of the fans will be having a little bit of a tailgate in the parking lot. Yep. They're a rowdy bunch, and I'm sure, you know, the more the merrier.
Absolutely.
Just don't steal their shit. Bring your own stuff.
Yes, bring your own stuff. Don't be a dick, because we're all here to have fun. Adam Luce wants to know if there's any chance of a ISW show in Boston.
Boston. I've never been to Boston.
I've been to Boston once. I was in high school. We were there for a class trip. And the only thing I remember is the Duck Tour. The Duck Tour it's a vehicle that drives on the land, and then at some point they just turn right into the water, and then it becomes a boat.
Wow, it's like Inspector Gadget.
Kinda, yeah. You're just driving right into the ocean. All of a sudden, it's just like, what the hell is going on? I've never seen anything like this before. And then you're just, you know, checking out Boston on a boat.
Fine, then. I will. We would run a show in Boston only if we could set up the ring on a duck boat.
Done. Done. We'll do it. We'll do a King of the Road match, but make it a King of the Sea match.
King of the Ducks.
Maybe Gordon Bombay can do the ring announcing for that match.
Quack, quack, quack.
Only a couple of questions left. Again, if anyone wants to submit any questions for the next Dubcast, send them over to interspecieswrestling@hotmail.com. Tweet them to @ISDUB. We'll do this for every time we do a Dubcast. If we get enough questions, we'll keep doing it. Maybe we'll have some guests on to answer some questions from you guys in the future. Former Interspecies Wrestling champion Giant Tiger, and I quote, wants to know, ask him if he found my baseball hat at the last show, please. And this is what I had to decipher through these many, many typos.
I actually did find his baseball hat, and I've got it, and I will give it back to him on June 15th, because I am a very nice person. Giant Tiger and I actually patched things up, and we're cool, and, you know, so I'm, like, back in the day, I probably would have thrown this hat out, or farted on it, or something. Now I'm just gonna happily give it back to him. Giant Tiger. A changed man ever since he got clean.
I'm glad that you two have buried the hatchet. It was really uncomfortable a lot of times in the past, but everyone moves on, bygones be bygones, and, you know, people can be friends after they've hated each other for a number of years and tried to do horrible, horrible, horrible things to each other. We're down to our final question. This one comes from Eddie C. Me. Eddie says he wants to know, based on what we know and have seen, in your opinion, who ran over Zandig's car?
Who do I think ran over Zandig's car? The funny thing is, as I think about it, I'll tell you a story. Last weekend, we had a bachelor party for my soon-to-be brother-in-law. And I forced everybody to watch every single chapter of that. And people who didn't know who Zandig was were absolutely like baffled as to who this pregnant man was and why anybody would run over his car. Personally, I think it was a Yakuza person based on what Zandig did to Big Japan back in the day.
That sounds about right. I have to feel like that Nick Gage knows somebody through his prison connections and got word to somebody on the outside, and that's how it happened.
No, because Nick Gage is in the videos, and he got his ass kicked.
Well, yeah, but that's archival footage. I mean, clearly he couldn't do it now. He's in the big house, making friends, showing people the proper usage way to wear a bandana, or learning it since he didn't do that before.
I think the funniest thing in all those videos – you know what? I'm going to talk about these videos for a bit. The funniest things, the top five things I think are in these videos are when the girl is talking and all Zandig hears is blah, 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 because he's staring at her tits. Nick Mondo walking through a wall, but also on the topic of Nick Mondo is the Nick Mondo, my man. It's so fucking good. And he's just like, hello, Zandig, how are you today? I am Nick Mondo. What else do I love? Oh, the Iron Sheik. And he rolls down the fucking stage. He comes out, he's like, fuck, fucking bullshit, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. And then when he rolls down the stage, it's just like, it's the fucking funniest thing ever. What else? I love, fuck you, motherfucker. I said it's cold outside. And, dude, I just love all of it. There's not even a top five. There's nothing about those videos that I don't love.
I have recently made a clip from the infamous Zandig promo, my text tone, and I'm very excited about that.
I honestly, if there is a way for me to become a part of this series, fuck, whose dick do I gotta suck to be a fucking WWE 13 creator wrestler in this series?
I think we know people who could do that. If anyone is listening and knows people who can make it happen, someone make Mike Rotch in WWE 13 so he can be a part of these Zandig videos. Someone do it.
Please. And in these videos, I don't know, make me kick Hornswoggle in the dick.
I think someone can make that happen or something like it. I'm sure, you know, you'll be midget tossing in no time.
Absolutely.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Dubcast. Unless, Mike, you got anything else you want to get off your chest before we say goodbye for the week?
Well, yeah, you know what? I don't have much to plug. Just the show coming up. Interspecies Wrestling presents SummerSlam Tasia. It's a homecoming for me. This is where I'm from. This is my home. This is where I started. Home is where the heart is. This is where my heart is, right here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. You know, I moved away from here, but now I'm back just for this, and I can't wait. I want to see a lot of old faces. I want to see a lot of new faces. I want to see a lot of like not even born faces, as in I want pregnant women in the crowd, but I want them to move the fuck out of the way in case somebody dives on them. I don't want to see like, I don't know, let's say Oni go for a dive, go head first into a belly and just see a baby squirt onto the floor.
Wow.
I don't want to see that. Actually, I do. So pregnant women, get dove on. But yeah, Interspecies Wrestling presents SummerSlam Tasia at the Knights of Columbus Hall. It is the we're jerking the curtain for C4 Wrestling, and we're having their Crossing the Line event later that night. It's the biggest day of pro wrestling in Ottawa wrestling history, and the Ottawa scene is continuing to grow. So it's very cool to be a part of this day. And you know, it's $15 regular, $20 VIP, 2 p.m. bell time, about 1:30 for those of you who have the VIP ticket. Presenting some crazy fucking shit, including a guy named Boogly.
Boogly?
That's his name, man.
That's awesome.
I don't know, man. Boogly.
And with that, we'll give you the hard sell one more time. SummerSlam Tasia on June 15th. It's a Saturday. It's at the Knights of Columbus in Ottawa, Ontario. It's part of the biggest day of professional wrestling in Ottawa history, in the history of Ottawa. That sounds better. And again, the main event, Is He Dead Yet? Defends his Interspecies Wrestling Championship against the deathmatch drunkard Danny Havoc, who Mike Rotch will not challenge to a drinking contest.
No, I am absolutely afraid. Even if he doesn't have a single drink that weekend, he wins.
That seems very, very likely, because if it's not this weekend, it's going to be some other time. That's it for this week.
Hold on, Ben. I want to leave something in the hands of our listeners here. I want to propose something, if you will. You see, back at Slamtasia 3, I got drunk on commentary. The show is available for free on YouTube, the entire show. And I've had a bunch of you tell me how much you loved that commentary. Depending on how many people want me to do it again, I have a bottle of vodka. And I'm willing to drink it for breakfast that day if it's for the sake of, you know, doing crazy commentary. Just let me know. I will die for your sins. I should also add that my mom's going to be at this show. So if I'm drunk doing commentary, saying the C word, I'd want nothing more than for her to be calling that match with me. So if you want to hear my mom on commentary saying, "Michael, what are you saying? What's wrong with you?" You let me know.
I think we need to make this a thing. So again, get at Mike, tweet ISW, tweet me, tweet whoever. Let Mike know that you want him to do drunk commentary. Mike, I'm letting you know right now, this is something I want to see and I want to be a part of. But anyway, we'll be back next week. We'll give you the full rundown of what's going on at SummerSlamtasia. But for now, we'll leave you with this lovely little ditty. And for Mike Roch, I'm Ben Gordon saying thank you very much for listening to the Dubcast. Oh, Mandy, you came and you gave without